Well, welcome everybody to the iPhone Users Group on VIP. Today is March 11th, 2026. The year is marching on, so to speak. So, one question that I have been pondering for a while is one of the questions that I ask is about the rotor. And is there a limit to how many items that you can put in the rotor? And if so, how many? And what's in your rotor?
Well, I know something that's been happening with it since the latest update is it keeps turning all punctuation on. And it's driving me nuts when it reads. And so I don't know whether I should take that choice out of there. I mean, once you get it the way you want it or whatever.
I'll let Cheryl address that and then I will address your question.
You're saying that your punctuation gets moved or once you select it, it doesn't stay selected. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I can say none. And today I was doing something and it was reading all the punctuation again and it was turned back on for all.
I would take it out of the, if you don't want it to, I would take it out of the rotor.
Yeah, I would take it out. I mean, if you want it the same way all the time, then you really don't need it there. The other thing you could do is move it in the rotor. You'd have to go into rotor settings and reposition it to another area. One thing that happens to me with speech rate and audio ducking, it doesn't always default back to like the beginning, the main one, which for me is characters, is when you do change it back, make sure you spin the rotor so you're away from it. And in my rotor, I basically have characters, words, headings, speech rate, speech volume, audio ducking, and what is it, screen description or something?
Yeah, Hank, yours is similar to mine. The only thing I really don't have in there that you have is audio ducking. But I have all of those things. Speech recognition, I think, is what you're perhaps referring to. But yeah, I've basically got what you've got in there. And I don't think I'd want too many things in there because I have a little trouble with that rotation, especially going to the left for some reason. I know it just cycles around whichever way you go, but I have trouble with that left word rotation. I can go to the right fine.
Can you put speech on and off in there?
Speech? To turn it on and off?
Yeah, like, you know, that there's I forget now what it is, but, you know, if you want a sighted person to do something, they'd like to have the speech off.
I don't think that would work because the voiceover, when it's on, acts differently when voiceover is off. When voiceover itself is off, then the screen reverts to the way they would use it. But if all you did was turn speech off, it would still act kind of funny for them.
I wonder why that is. I suppose there's a certain thing that has to be on the screen in order for voiceover to work. But it is interesting that it acts differently when you turn it off.
Yeah, that's really what I guess I'm talking about, turning the voiceover off.
You might be able to do a back tap for that to turn voiceover on and off. The speech is easy enough to do. It's a three finger double tap and speech is off. And the reason it acts different is because a sighted person, they're looking at the screen. If they want to open messages, they just single tap on messages. Whereas us, we're swiping around or touching the screen to get somewhere. So say we get to messages, we have to double tap it to do it. Otherwise, we'd be opening all the apps all the time, constantly, and doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it would still behave as if VoiceOver is on, basically. And welcome in, Jeff. We're talking about the rotor. What do you have in your rotor, and what do you do? I have basically the... And Becky, you can tell Siri to turn VoiceOver on and off, and that's usually the way I do it. I have the basic stuff, the speech rate, because I use that a lot. The characters, words, text selection is really good when you want to select text and copy it to another email. I use that a lot. You probably can tell. And then I have links in there, which is really handy. And there's probably something I'm forgetting. Headings is also really handy to use. So, I got to reorder because I've somehow managed to get text selection in between words and characters. And it's like, no, that's not where I want it. So I got to move it down or something.
Yeah, I think I have all the same as you do, Cheryl. But, if I have Nancy do something for me, instead of turning VoiceOver off, I just hit the power button 3 times quick, and, of course, it shuts it off, and then she can use it like she would, you know. That works all good.
Yep, more than one way to do things, which I like. I forgot about Link, but as we were talking earlier, Cheryl, what I like about the rotor is certain things, if they're not needed or they're not on whatever app you're on, they just disappear. They're not in there. So you're not, say you have 15 things in there. They're not always 15 things in there, because if you're in Dice World and not on the internet, you're not going to get links or visited links or stuff like that, frames, or I don't even know what containers are, but I think it's a frame. It's what they call it here. And I also have voices, because I have a Spanish voice as well. So if somebody sends me, although I got to look into it, somebody said with the new phones and a new operating system, it kind of does it automatically. But I have a Spanish voice that I can switch to read text messages in Spanish instead of hearing an English voice butcher the language.
Is there a setting in, is there a category in settings that says rotary, or do you go inside of something else in settings?
The rotary is located in accessibility under VoiceOver, and then click down to rotor, and then you can double tap on that and then add and remove things as needed. It's not, to me, it's not all that easy to do, but it's not bad. Somebody, hey, Pat, welcome in.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, going back to the VoiceOver on and off, I'm kind of weird. I know I am, but I can't help it. When I make a phone call or receive a phone call, I always do the tap to turn the VoiceOver off. Because if I put the phone up to my face, a lot of times it starts blabbing, or sometimes just does a countdown or something. It's very irritating, so I always turn VoiceOver off whenever I'm in a call.
Yeah, if you hold that phone that I refer to as a plate to your head, yeah, I would recommend doing that too. I use a headset, or I recommend the Bluetooth earbud. Those are really good too for talking on the phone, so that you don't have to hold it up to your head. But I did notice that when I'm on the phone a lot with people, oh my gosh, their face will activate the screen and you'll hear beep, beep. I said, ma'am, you're touching the phone. No, I'm not. Interesting.
Well, I'll make a phone call. Usually once it starts ringing, I pull the phone away from me, and of course the speaker comes on, and that's how I usually talk, is,
X-11.
That way. So it works out good.
Hey, Mike, welcome into the group. When you just mentioned the speaker, that reminded me, I'm going to digress for just a little bit. We'll get back to the rotor settings, but I was had my phone on speaker, you know, had the Bluetooth off, and I could. So anyway, I was going into the voicemail, and there is now in voicemail under 26, whatever, whatever, a speaker button. Before, you could never hear your voice messages unless you held it up to your head. Now, it'll play right through the speaker. I thought, well, this is new, and I love it.
I do love that feature as well. Though when I first turned it on and stuff, it was quiet. So it might be really quiet. You just have to crank up the volume the first time you hit the speaker button. And another thing I noticed since I got the key and we're talking about voicemail is I was not liking the new recent, like where your voicemail and your recent calls, it was all put together, and it was weird reading and trying to figure out, okay, is that just an incoming call or voicemail? At the bottom, I believe that's where I saw it, there is a classic. Oh, no, you go at the top, you go into edit, and you can switch it to classic mode, and then now it reads like the way it always used to.
Yeah, I've got mine set to filter because I get a lot of scam calls, spam calls. And in there, it'll tell you how many scam calls you got, I guess. I forget what it's called. Anyway, you can flick through there, and there's a delete, and then there's a delete and report as spam. So I've been doing that.
How do you turn VoiceOver off when you are on the phone?
I think he turns it. What? How do you do that, Terry? Because I never do.
I'm not Terry, but I do the triple finger, double tap. Because mine, if I don't turn the voiceover off, it counts the seconds, and boy, that's aggravating.
That's only because it's focused on that. But if you refocus the screen to another part of the screen, it won't do that. But yeah, that turning speech off will work for that too.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't quite answer it, but yeah, I do a double tap with three fingers to turn it off. I was breaking down some boxes here and didn't hear you.
And just so everybody's clear, when you do the three-finger double tap, you're actually just turning speech off. VoiceOver is still running. You just won't hear her talk at all, or him, or what it talk at all.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, Hank. If you know, you're not turning VoiceOver off, you're just turning speech off. There's a big difference. And I don't know if anybody else came in, but I heard either somebody left or came in, but welcome in.
That's why I get confused sometimes between speech and voiceover. It's all voice to me, but I get confused to what's speech and what's voiceover.
Well, they're pretty much the same thing. The only difference is the way you turn them on and off. If you want a sighted person to interact with the phone, you need to turn voiceover off, and speech goes with it. But if you just want to shut it up, turning speech off will do the same thing, and yet the sighted person would not be able to interact with it, but it's just for your own personal use.
But there is, in the accessibility settings, there is a setting called speech that is separate from the voiceover. What purpose does that have? Does anybody know?
I don't. I'll have to look at it. You mean, like, if you go into accessibility before going into voiceover, there's a speech category. I'll look at that in a minute. What was I going to say? Oh, the good thing about turning speech off sometimes, because say you forget, because if you turn voiceover off, as I was saying before, if you go to touch the screen, and you forgot you turned VoiceOver off, you're going to start opening apps or activating stuff. So at least with voice, the speech off, you would still have to double tap to get something to work. So you start touching the screen, you don't hear a voice. Oh, I turned speech off, turn it back on. And it's just quick to do. Three-finger double tap, three-finger double tap to turn the speech off and on.
Yeah, if you forget you did that, you can get in trouble real quick. But anyway, under speech, I believe that's where you set your voices. Like I've got Alex and different things like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're right. That's where you get the different voices and the speech rate and that kind of thing.
Because I thought that was all under VoiceOver, but I may be wrong. Because the VoiceOver and such are under Vision, under the main Vision heading, right? But I think there's another, I don't know, I'd have to look.
Now, under VoiceOver, you've got all these different, and there's a bunch of them different. You double tap on VoiceOver, that's a general heading. And then within that, you have all those different things you can do, one of which is speech.
Do I have the key? Yes, I do. So I see there's a speech heading in accessibility, but I'm not sure what some of this stuff is.
Speech heading. Live speech off.
Live speech is off. I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure I want to turn it on, but I could double tap on it. Hang on. Oops.
Personal voice button.
Personal voice, which I believe is a setup. It'll walk you through. I have not done it. And you just say some phrases, and then your VoiceOver voice or your Siri voice, I'm not sure which one or both, it will become your voice. The AI will create a voice using your own voice. Why I want to hear myself, I don't know.
Vocal shortcuts, off button.
Vocal shortcuts, I'm just assuming it's like the text thing that you could do where you type a couple letters and it writes a sentence. So it's probably to say, you know, today stuff, and it'll tell you what's in your calendar for today or something like that.
I don't see speech outside of the VoiceOver heading. I see a bunch of other stuff.
Like I said, it's a speech heading. There's a read and speak button, but I didn't click on that. I kept going to look for speech. So it's past that. It's a good ways down. So it's a heading. And then after the speech heading, I see live speech, personal voice, and the voice, whatever. What was it?
Audio ducking.
Oh.
I think that's more for sighted people that want, if they're on the internet or something, and they just want the phone to read the article to them. I think that's basically what that's for.
So, like, audio ducking, is that when you, if you had that turned on, I don't think I have that in my rotor. If you have that turned on, is that like, when you're listening to a radio station or reading a book on your phone, and then you do want to do something on your phone with VoiceOver, that would push your book back, or, you know, in volume, or is that what that's? I've not used it a lot. I think when I first got my phone, I played with it, but I've not used it a lot.
You can kind of use it to read maybe files on your, you know, like text files on your phone. It'll read and speak, and you can choose voices. I never really looked at this. It's kind of neat. It might be fun to play with at some point.
Yeah, I think what most people use that for is they are the ones that when VoiceOver and possibly Siri has something to say, the audio of what you're listening to, music, movies, people talking in here, that goes down and your speech comes up so you can hear what's happening.
Is that audio ducking?
Yeah, I should have clarified. Yeah, that's audio ducking. I always have mine off, which is mostly beneficial, but once in a while I kick myself because then, like when my phone rings, and that little voice comes up to tell you who it is, I can't hear it. unless I have audio decking set. And since I don't, I just have to go back and look physically.
Yeah, I know, like in Gold Wave and, you know, things like that, it's where you kind of like the voiceover thing where you can, where it lowers down the volume of the music or whatever is in the background so that your voice is more prominent.
Well, I had to turn audio ducking on one time when I was creating a ringtone, and I could not hear voiceover over the music, so I went into audio ducking, and it allowed me to hear voiceover while I was, you know, setting the parameters in the track. So that worked well, and then after that, I didn't need it, so I went back in and turned it back off. But when I get a phone call, and I don't always hear it either. What I'll do is hit the volume up button. It turns off speech. And then I can just flick back and see who's calling and make a determination whether to answer the call or not. Hey, Allie, welcome in.
Everybody, just saying what the tech chat is about.
Hey, Allie. I didn't think about that, Spence. I believe we've had this conversation a ways back, but now for a different reason. If you're getting a phone call, if you hit the power button, I think it sends it right to voicemail. But if you hit a volume button, it mutes or stops the ringtone, but it's still actually ringing, where so you can still answer it. So if you hit a volume button, your ringtone will stop, and then you can swipe and hear who's calling you and decide if you want to answer. I think that's what Spencer said you do.
That's exactly right.
I never knew that. That's handy to know.
Oh, it comes in real handy because, you know, there's lots of times like, I'm not going to talk to them. You know, no. It's usually a telemarketer or somebody I don't want to talk to.
Could you repeat that? Actually, I could probably listen to it on the recording, but could you repeat how to do that again?
When your phone rings, and you know how loud your ringtones can be, you hit the volume up button. The volume down button probably works as well. It shuts off your ringtone. It does, you know, it stops it from ringing, but you can still have your voiceover, and you can flick back to see who's calling, and you still have time to answer the phone if you so desire.
Yeah, your ringtone stops, but it's still ringing on their end. It also comes in handy. I've done this, like, say, you know, somebody I do want to talk to, but I'm like finishing up a conversation with somebody. It's like, oh, that's my daughter. I got to get this. Okay, it was good talk. You know, I hit the button so the ringer's not going on and on. Oh, yeah, I'll catch you later. Yeah, call me tomorrow and we'll do whatever. We'll do lunch. But then I could still, you know, say that without the ringer going and then still answer the call after I've said that.
Oh, that's good information to know.
Yeah, it seems like I was able to answer a call even while they were leaving voicemail. I don't know if I did it by mistake or what.
That is true. Good thing you brought that up, because that happened to me the other day. My buddy was already leaving a voicemail, and I don't know if I two-finger double-tapped like I always do to answer a call, or I just double-tapped on the voicemail or on the call or something. And he was in the middle of leaving a voicemail, and all of a sudden I'm hearing it. And I said, hey, he stopped talking. It's like, hey, what's up? Just like you would on a house phone. And sometimes I get a transcription on the screen when they're leaving the voicemail, so I can see already what they're saying via text.
Yep, that is a cool feature in 26. I love that because I have done that also. Somebody will be leaving a voicemail, and you can hear it. It'll, hey, whoever came in, I didn't hear who it was, but welcome in. You can hear it say waiting, and as long as it's saying waiting, you can still answer the call. I think that is a great feature. Remember the old days when you had those answering machines, and you can hear somebody on the leave a voicemail, and you can pick up the phone and say, I'm here," you know, and interrupt it. It's kind of like that in the new technology days.
Well, I always double tap when I get phone calls on my iPhone. And it always announces the number, so I know who's calling me at what times. And I find that easy for me to do.
Yeah, if they're in the middle of a voicemail, I just do the regular ants and double tap with two fingers, and it connects me. So it's a cool feature. I'm glad they got that. Yeah, I remember the old voicemail on the phone. Matter of fact, I think I actually have one of those on my landline phone, but I never use it. I use the one on the system. So
I still have an answering machine. I have a landline and my cell phone, and yeah, I can hear the calls. It's a cordless Panasonic. What I like about the cordless Panasonic is all the hands, because it's got the extension handset, so it's a digital answering system, not a machine, I guess, the newer ones. So it's got the base that has all the settings and stuff on it and stuff, but you also got the extension phones. And when somebody's leaving a voicemail, you hear them on all of them. So even though the machine's in the living room, the one in the bedroom, I can hear and answer the phone in my bedroom if I hear that I want to answer it. And welcome back, Becky. I guess you're having some internet issues because you keep popping out and in.
Yeah, I'm sorry, and if it knocks me out again, it's the weather, I think. Yeah, sorry about that. I'll not come back in next time.
No, you come back in as many times as you need to, Becky. You're an important part of this group. You know, another feature I wish that the iPhone had, the Androids have it now, but I would really like it. And if we have it, somebody let me know. But I'll be on the phone with my sister, and my brother will call her. She can actually merge or connect me in to the call right there on the fly. I'm not able to do that. Does anybody know if Apple's doing? But I don't think we have that capability yet.
You know, for some reason, it seems like we do, but I think I played with it before, but I'm not sure. But yeah, I've got the Panasonic. I think I got a 5 remote system, but I don't have anything turned on. Now, for one thing, I don't know what all the buttons are and all that stuff. But so I just use them as a regular phone. But yeah, I'm not sure, Cheryl.
I think you can. I've never tried it or really thought of it. I know you can add a third person, or actually with FaceTime, you can do up to 20 people or something. And Becky, you're fine. It was just a question about your internet. It was not a complaint. So yeah, if you drop out, come right back in. You're fine.
Okay. Well, I know I can add people. I can initiate and add whoever I want. I can, you know, as many as I want. But while I'm on the actual phone and somebody calls while we're both talking, she can just add me into the call when she answers the other call. I can't seem to figure out how to do that. And I've looked and I don't see an option for that.
Or he was anyway. By the time I typed it, he might have unkeyed, or you might have unkeyed, Jeff.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, you don't have any audio, Jeff.
No, if you're trying to key up, you're not getting any audio or anything, Jeff.
Well, I think this is a good time for Hank to tell you about a new app he was looking at. I don't think he downloaded an app, but I think it's pretty interesting. Hank, you want to take it away?
Sure. It's just something I saw on the Apple Viz newsletter. As you're right, I have not downloaded it yet, but it sounds interesting, especially if you like to travel. It's called WikiTrip. So basically, as you're walking or driving around, it'll give you tidbits, or whether it be like history or trivia of things around you, say a building or a bridge or a church or what have you. I guess it's like Wikipedia, but it's kind of live around your, things to do with your surroundings. So say you go to Washington, D.C., you can walk around and say the Lincoln Monument built in blah, blah, blah. So not really a navigational tool per se, but I think if you're into trivia and or history or whatever, I have yet to try it, but because I'm not planning to go anywhere soon, and I don't think I really need to know about my own neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't hope it doesn't do things like when you're driving down the street, it's like the house you're passing was built in 1952. And suddenly, I don't want to know all that. But I think that might be kind of cool when you're traveling or you're going somewhere with somebody. And sighted people really don't describe the area too much. So it would be kind of neat to know what you're passing. That might be kind of cool.
Like having your own personal tour guide.
Exactly. That's what my thinking was. And you know what? Maybe one day if I'm on the way to like my sister's house or something, maybe I'll, after I download it, maybe I will turn it on. And you know what? You might find out some interesting stuff about your own town. Things that you never knew that were there, like the city hall or I don't know. Just worth a shot.
I might try that if I can remember the name of it.
WikiTrip, like Wikipedia, only for, I guess, for a trip.
Okay, WikiTrip, okay. I think I can do it.
Yeah, WikiTrip.
Okay, speaking of new apps, my doctor recommended an app for me to try since I have issues with sleep. And the app is called Sleepio RX. And you have to be referred by your provider for it and the health system you're part of because you get an access code when you log on. So I downloaded the thing, and it is an app. You can't do it on your computer. I wish you could. And I attempted to log into this thing and could not. Some of the fields had definite edit where it said they were edit fields, but some of them did not. And in the edit fields that I could use, it gave me a real hard time in using the keyboard. The keyboard would jump around or it would totally disappear. And if I tried to use dictation for things like my email address, for example, because I have a long email address, and that's where I want to play around with these shortcuts and maybe make a shortcut for my email address. But what it was doing was like when you put your email address and then at, mine is SBC Global, after the at, it would put a space and then it wouldn't recognize it. When you put the period for .net, it put a space. So there's probably things in the settings to tell it not to do those kinds of things, but I can't tell you how long I sat here with this thing trying to just get myself logged in, and I could not. So they gave an email address for technical support, and I did that and tried to explain that I was using it with my phone and voiceover and what problems I was having. And I'm waiting to see whether or not the guy was very challenged by this. And he said, I'm really thankful that you have contacted us to let us know what your issues are. But I'm thinking, there's a lot of blind people who have trouble with sleep. And if this is something that it's a behavior modification thing, I think it gives you some suggestions. And I don't know if you got to do journaling of what time you went to bed and all this kind of stuff. I may not like it in the end. And I did ask the question, if I'm having trouble logging in, am I going to have trouble once I get logged in using the rest of the app? So I will let you know But I'll see what happens.
Well, good luck with that. Yeah, some sites don't work so great. I wonder if changing the screen recognition in the rotor would help at all. Or if, I don't know if it's on by default or not. But I know some apps, if you turn it on, they work better. Some apps, if it's on, they're actually worse. Like none of the Apple apps you want that on because they work out of the box. And I was going to say something else.
You know, it's not like they left us out intentionally. They just never thought about us to begin with. That's the problem with a lot of these apps. They don't believe a blind person would ever be using this type of thing. That's the sighted mentality that we run across every day, and it's unfortunate. The other day, I've got this thermostat. It's a flat screen, very annoying. So I called Ira. I said, look, this thing got into some kind of program. I want to take the programming off. I just want to set it to one temperature and leave it. So that agent was so great. She said, well, maybe, you know, it would be better on the phone. So I turned, Ira has this thing where you can turn screen sharing on and they can see your screen, that you can broadcast your screen to them. And between going into the app, and she said the hold setting, is your voiceover is completely jumping over. But we worked together and we got it done. And it was a great experience. But yeah, that's unfortunate that these things that are great and your doctor's intentions were good, but tell them now, thanks to this app, you need a tranquilizer for your nerves.
Yeah, the app that is associated with the company that pays me to do things for Lori, it's called Caregiver. And I had an Apple accessibility person go through it with me and review it. And she said it was not accessible at all. And we tried it with screen recognition and everything. It's got these timer things that you can set. And then there's also a place where you have to put the person's signature. And of course, we can't do that. So it's a good thing that I live here, because if I didn't live here, I would be required to use the app. And so I don't know if there's any way to make things like that accessible, but that has been a thorn in my side for as long as I've been working for this company.
Unfortunately, it's just feedback to the developers and hope that enough people complain or suggest or whatever to change things. The one you want, which you probably already know, like you said, for your email, I believe it's called Text Replacement. I love that thing. It's so cool, especially for long sentences or, like you said, an email address. You could just type, say you change it to XMX. You type that and your whole email just pops on the screen. And speaking of accessibility, anybody here have or can recommend an accessible printer? My buddy has a real nice HP, but it's... Now they come with a touch screen on it. That's what reminded me is that your thermostat there. So I don't want one with a touch screen. I want with either buttons or, you know, because I use Open Book.
Again, you might want to talk to Eric about that. He might have suggestions. But Mara, I was going to tell you that if you wanted to try to do that, Ira will sign into the website. And unless it's an app that you have to use, but if there's a website, Ira can sign in and do what you need to do probably pretty quick. I am very impressed with the the range of items that they can do.
Yep, you're right. I don't want to get off the iPhone related questions. That's more of a computer question. But yeah, I'll ask Eric, or maybe I'll go on to your Blind Accessible Facebook page.
It is an app, and my printer is a Brother printer. And I believe it does have buttons. I think it has some modes and things like that too, but it seems to work pretty well. I don't use a lot of the features on it because I use my phone for reading text and documents and things like that. So I don't use OpenBook anymore. But I guess the Brother printers, a lot of people are saying that Brother printers are more accessible than some.
That would be my thought as well. I want a small printer. I don't want a very big printer. All I want to do is be able to print envelopes. A small printer, please. Nobody has one.
I have a Brother printer as well, and it does have buttons on it. But like you say, Mar, it's got modes that when you go from one thing to another, then there is a screen. And sometimes you're not really sure what you're doing after that. But if you just set it to print, you're fine. My other question is, would Ira have been able to share my screen to help me when I was playing around with that app? And could they have helped me fill in that information I couldn't fill in, or would they just see what I was going through on the screen and not, because I had thought of that. And then I decided I'll let the company know that it's not that easy to use anyway. So, but I was just wondering, where would Ira fit into something like that?
Yeah, I just print with my Brother, Control P, and that brings it up, and I can print both sides or one side. It scans and does all that, but then there's a lot of buttons on it. So Nancy usually does all that. So anyway, I'll shut up so you can answer an iPhone question.
Well, unfortunately, they can't take control of your phone. And I thought that was going to be a feature, but that's more for Apple, I think, to do than it is for Ira. But they can guide you, you know, like, oh, it's, you know, to the left or something, and they can see what your screen is doing. But if it's not accessible, they really can't fix that.
Yeah, that's what we still do, the control P to print things out if necessary. I used to have Braille embossals that were accessible, but now we just do the control P.
My problem with getting the printers, I don't know where I'd put it.
Thank you, everybody. Some of the new printers for like a flatbed scanner is not too big for you. They're kind of like top loaded. You put the paper in almost flat, if that makes sense. And then it kind of rolls through and comes out just underneath it. Because I have a flatbed scanner, but it still doesn't work anymore. And somebody gave me a old printer. It's a Brother print, but it has the phone, a fax machine. The thing is huge and it needs new ink, but I don't want to buy new ink for this huge monstrosity. And I'd rather get a new, smaller, streamlined printer.
Yeah, I know a friend of mine said, the next time you go for a printer, don't even worry about this, you know, ability to do all of that. Just get a laser printer and be done with it. Black and white. If you're not worried about printing stuff in color and all that other kind of stuff, which my printer won't die, so I don't buy another one.
Yeah, I'm looking at the laser. I think in the long run, if all you want to do is print like labels and letters and you don't want to print out pictures and do quality things like that, I'm kind of looking in that direction.
The other possibility is they make what they call a label printer, which I would think would be fairly small. I know the office that I worked for in California had one, and they used it to print labels for packages and things like that.
Yeah, toner printer is definitely the way to go. And I got a black and white. I used to work with printer cartridges where I worked. And those things last forever.
A label printer is actually a great idea. Then you print it, and then it just, I think they make it like there where they're stickers. So you just peel it back and stick it on the envelope instead of printing the envelope. Stick it on there. And I think for us, laser printers are the way to go unless you use them a lot, because ink ones will, as we all know, will dry out. Laser printers, you could print one page every 6 months and it's fine, because basically you use powder and the laser melts the powder onto the page, so there's nothing to dry out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll look into that. Seems like I did look for a label printer, and I didn't have much success, so I will delve into that again.
You know, I never set my phone up to be able to print from my phone. I print from my computer, but how would you set it up to print from your phone?
Well, you would put it on the network, and I think in your, when you're, like, if you wanted to print an email or something. I've done it before, but it's been a while. But I think you have to connect it to your phone, so that your phone recognizes it.
Yeah, I printed from my phone with this new printer, and it is on the Wi-Fi network. And I think, you know, I just cannot remember how I did it, but yeah, I think you have to you have to link your printer up with your phone somehow, and I just cannot remember how to do it anymore.
Yeah, because your phone's already on your Wi-Fi network, or most of them are, and I know my printer is, because I can print from any computer, but seems like I had to download an app one time, but I don't think I really had to. I'm going to look into that, because that would be very handy.
Well, see, the printer's kind of iPhone related, because we use our iPhone. I don't want to be using my iPhone to print. I wouldn't be doing, you know, I guess I could use a computer, but it's amazing how much I do not do with my computer. A lot.
I would say I probably do about half. Although I used to do Walmart with the iPhone, and I find that it's a lot easier with a computer. I don't know. There's just certain things that are easier to do. And I just found that's a lot easier. But there's other things that I do exclusively with the phone, like Uber Eats and Uber and, you know, things like that.
Speaking of Uber Eats, we're having Uber Eats tonight. Wayne has never had Five Guys and Fries. I said, oh, well, if they're as good as they used to be, that's, you're in for a treat. So we might do that tonight for dinner. But each of those apps are so different. Like Instacart's not anything like Shipt and the Sam's app. And, oh boy. So you have to learn the different idiosyncrasies about every different app. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Each app has its own features that you have to learn. What does that do?
Yeah, yeah. And I mostly use the computer, but I'm starting to use the phone more for things. Because some apps, like Facebook especially, I hate that they got rid of the mobile page on the computer. So now you have to use the mainstream one. And mine bounces around. I don't know if anybody else's. If I keep hitting H to go to the next story, it's stuck on that story. It keeps reading that one over and over. Until finally it goes to the next one. We're on the phone. It's so much easier than it used to be. It's so much. So I'm like, ooh, Facebook on the phone now. Forget the computer.
I wonder why they got rid of the mobile Facebook Because that's what I used to use too. Because mine would jump around too. But I wonder why they got rid of the mobile, like the mobile Gmail and the mobile Facebook.
Because accessibility is broken in a lot of places, and that's one of them. But I do find Facebook on the phone much easier. And I noticed that when I first opened Facebook, all you get is all these news stories from all over everywhere. And then I noticed that down at the bottom, you can double tap on friends. And it's not like, oh, somebody wants to be friends. It's all your friends. I'm going, well, hello there. All the people that, you know, come to the forefront. I thought, well, that's kind of neat. I'm glad to see that.
I have to look for that. I mean, I get a combination of like ads and friends and stuff, but I have to see if mine's already checked or not. That's good to know. And well, this one is an iPhone. You mentioned Uber Eats. Is that like the best one? Yeah. Don't yell at me. I still have not gotten Uber Eats or DoorDash or anything. I just order from my local places that do deliver. So is that basically like the best one to use for food?
Well, it's the only one I use. I had DoorDash, but I've never actually used it. Donnie from VIP, he says there's an accessibility number that you can call and place your order that way. I would tend to just call Ira for that. But Uber Eats is not bad. It's fairly accessible and fairly easy to use.
Okay, I found the directions to print from your iPhone. I'll play it here if it works. So here we go.
To print from your iPhone to a Wi-Fi enabled printer, ensure both devices are connected to the same Wi-Fi network. Open the document or photo you wish to print. Tap the share icon, the square with an upward arrow. Select print from the menu. Choose your printer from the list and tap print again to complete the task.
Okay, did that come through?
Yeah, it did. I was using DoorDash originally when I first started doing this food ordering thing, and I would lose my place a lot of times. So this was before Uber Eats. But when Uber Eats came out, I thought, well, I'll try that and see if it works better. And I find that for the most part, it's a little easier to navigate. It's a little more intuitive, and sometimes things will kind of jump around and disappear, but you can usually get them back.
Terry, why don't you post that in those directions to the iPhone users group so Bill get them?
That came through just fine, Terry. And yeah, that's a great idea, Parker. That explained it very well. That good old share button. Oh, how could I forget about that share button? It's awesome.
Yeah, that came through Terry.
Thanks, Terry. Yep, I can hear it clearly. And I almost said the share button when you guys were talking about it, but you guys started talking about setup. I'm like, I never set one up, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut over here. But I kind of thought maybe share would get you there somehow. That's how you quite a few things import and move documents around.
Google's my best friend. I already got it in a document. I pasted it into a text file. So I will send that out.
That's pretty cool, Terry. That's very, very helpful. This has been a tremendous session today. I've gotten a lot out of today. I hope that you all did too. So 2 weeks from today, we will come back and do it again. Thank you all for coming.